This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's episode, we are talking with Teresa Tamio. Teresa is an author, a syndicated Catholic talk show host, and a motivational speaker with more than 30 years of TV, radio, and newspaper experience. 19 of those years, she spent in front of a camera working in the Detroit market as a reporter and anchor. She is the host of her own morning radio program, Catholic Connection, which is produced by Ave Maria Radio and can be heard right here on WSFI every morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Teresa has also been featured on The O'Reilly Factor, Fox News and Friends, MSNBC, and The Dr. Lara Show, discussing the issues of faith, media awareness, and Catholic Church teaching, especially as it relates to the culture. Today, Teresa is here with me on WSFI Spotlight to talk about some of those very same issues and also her personal conversion story to the Catholic faith. Welcome, Teresa.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Teresa, will you tell me and our listeners a little bit about what brought you to the Catholic faith? You left the secular media seemingly abruptly to start your communications company, and would you tell us why that happened?
Well, it's interesting because it was a very, very long journey back to the church. I was raised Catholic, born into the Catholic faith, baptized, received all my sacraments, went to 8 years of Catholic school, but at a very early age, I also found out that I had a gift of gab, and my instructors actually in Catholic grade school were very helpful in me recognizing that I had a talent for communications, for speaking, and for writing. And so at a very early age, even though I fell in love with the Lord when I made my Holy Communion, I also felt a real draw to a career in the communications media. And by the time I was in the eighth or ninth grade in public high school, although I was still going to Mass with my family, religion was really not all that important to me outside of the traditional things that one does as a Catholic, you know, going to Mass and having the different events that occur in the home based on your faith, whether it be, you know, different traditions that you have in your particular ethnic group. So it was a very traditional Catholic upbringing, even though, again, as I said, I fell in love with the Lord when I made my communion, and that was one of the reasons I stayed Catholic. But at that time, when I was growing up, I graduated in the early 70s from grade school and the mid-70s, 1977, from high school. And so there was a big emphasis on the so-called sexual revolution, so-called women's lib, and all of that. And I bought all of it hook, line, and sinker, and quickly, because of the rather quick success that I was having in pursuing communications, I really didn't think I needed God anymore, even though I still identified myself as Catholic. So, again, I was raised Catholic, but was pulled away by the world because I was having so much worldly success. When I was in high school, I was on the debate team, I was a cheerleader, I was in forensics, I was the editor of the high school newspaper. By the time I got to college at Central Michigan University, within the first year, I was a top reporter at the paper, had three internships in high school at various radio and TV stations, and it was all going just swimmingly, or so I thought. And again, God was somewhere in the background, but only when I needed a favor or when I needed to pass an exam or get a good grade on a particular project I was doing for a journalism class. So I graduated college in 1981 with honors from journalism school, and immediately started working in the Detroit area, which is a major market. So I was very blessed because I had a lot of experience that I was able to start right out in radio in my hometown, which is unusual. I was a Helen Reddy, woman hear me roar type. I'm never going to get married, you know, that type of a thing. I was a true feminist, hardcore, had bought into many of the lies about birth control and abortion. I wasn't active in promoting any of that. I just thought that was a woman's right, basically, to, you know, the old line of controlling her own body, or so I thought. And so that was pretty much, you know, the attitude I had toward my faith. No, yeah, I was still identified myself as Catholic, but really had no idea what that meant and had forgotten about the relationship that had begun when I met Jesus in the Eucharist. God threw me probably my first big curveball right after I graduated because, as I mentioned, I said I was never going to get married. But I met, within a few weeks of graduation, a very handsome man and fell in love, and within 6 months was engaged, and 2.5 years later I was married. So that was the first clue that I should have gotten that God was in charge and not me. But sometimes we are thick-headed, as I am and was even more so back then, And so I had to learn the hard way. So we did get married, and my husband's in a completely different field. He's an engineer, but also very successful. Similar upbringing, Italian-American Catholic. So we were Catholic, but it was really in name only. We did have the wedding in the Catholic Church. Then we went off on our merry way and thought, well, we were doing the right thing that all the couples did back then. This was in 1983, so it was the 80s, and we had that yuppie mentality. So it was all about work and making money and getting our career started, which we did with gangbusters. But the problem was that God had been pushed to the background. We had the Catholic wedding, but we never really invited God into our marriage, and that's why the problems within a few short years started. And really, even though we were having so much success and looked like we had it all together from the outside in terms of making the money, with the careers on the right track, with our first house and whatnot, our marriage was slowly falling apart because we were so busy being married singles, doing what we wanted in terms of what we thought the world told us we were supposed to do, which would equal happiness, and then is pursue money and career, that we lost track of each other. And the first real sign that things were starting to crack was when I took a job. I went from radio to television fairly quickly, won a big award, and was all of a sudden recognized by local TV. And so I jumped from radio to TV, which put me into a whole different category in my hometown of Detroit and required a lot more of my time and effort. And at first, it was okay. My husband, who has always been very supportive of my career, was supportive back then, too. But soon, I was finding myself rarely ever at home. My job was totally all-consuming, and I completely put my marriage on the back burner, thinking that, you know, everything would be fine and that somehow this marriage would take care of itself. Well, my husband was very disillusioned and really looking for an answer, not knowing where to turn, and out of the blue, we received an invitation, of all things, and I'm really shortening the story because there's a lot of things that happened, but for the sake of brevity and not to bore your listeners too much, but we were invited to this Pistons basketball game, and this was back in the early 90s, by my boss, my news director. She just happened to have tickets to front row seats at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and this was when the Pistons were actually in the running for the NBA championship. I could have cared less about being in a game. Sports is not a big thing for me, so fine, it's great if they win, but it was no big deal to me to be there. But I knew that being in the front row at the Palace would bring me attention. I'd probably be in the newspaper, and so it would be more notoriety. Plus, I wanted to be with my news director and her husband, to basically win some points with the boss. And so we went to the game, and it just so happened that was really the start of our coming back to the Lord. And what do I mean by that? Well, my news director's husband was a born-again Christian who was very involved in a men's Bible study. And so he invited my husband. He sensed that something was missing and that my husband was kind of down, and he knew us through the industry. And he invited him to this Bible study, and my husband said yes. And it was very strange for my husband to answer so quickly because he's an engineer and he loves to analyze things, and normally he'll analyze and then analyze again, and then he'll analyze one more time before he makes the final decision. But in this case, he said yes right away. And when we look back and we give our testimony together as husband and wife, he always says it was the Holy Spirit speaking, because he never would have answered that quickly. I always say he has a paralysis of analysis. So he enrolls in this Bible study, and they start studying the Old Testament. Now, my husband, as I mentioned, was raised Catholic also, and he also served as an altar boy growing up. And interestingly enough, they were studying Exodus and Deuteronomy at the time he entered the Bible study. And when they were going through the scripture verses, he noticed a similarity between what he saw in the sacristy when the priest was prepping and vesting for Mass. He recognized the altar, he recognized vestments, he recognized that this was a precursor to, obviously, the Eucharist and the Mass. And so he became very quickly very much on fire for his faith, again, his Catholic faith, and became overnight really like a zealot and very heavy-handed with me and telling me I needed to get back to Mass, I needed to get into Bible study, we needed to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I thought he had lost his mind. And I thought he was also being very judgmental to me. So I ran the other way. And there was so much tension between us after he came back to Christ that we even separated for a short period of time because there was so much tension. So to make a long story short, or even a little bit shorter, what really got my attention, in addition to some of the problems in our marriage and my husband coming back to the church through this Bible study, was me being knocked on my keister. I had been receiving a lot of accolades and a lot of attention and moving up the broadcast career ladder fairly quickly. with this new position I had in TV. And yet, one night, I was a lead story on the evening news, and the next morning I came in, a news director called me into the office early and let me know that, out of the blue, they weren't going to renew my contract, which shouldn't have surprised me because the business itself is very, very fickle, and those decisions are often made, and in this case, it was based on ratings. The ratings were down, and they let myself go as well as two or three other people at the same time. But it just shattered my world, and it was one of my first Damascus Road experiences, so to speak, where I was knocked off my high horse. And so for 6 months after I lost that position, I was forced to really take a long look at myself, because all the people that said were my friends all of a sudden disappeared. It's very interesting in the broadcasting business, when you lose a job, people think it's contagious and they're afraid to hang around you. So I was pretty much by myself, with the exception of my husband and my family. And that was a real tough time for me, but it was also the most fruitful time in terms of God really working on my heart, because finally, out of desperation, at the end of those months of unemployment, when I couldn't find a job of my own, I turned my life over to God and said, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. My marriage is barely hanging on. I don't have a job. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I don't know what the heck you want from me. So help. It wasn't really a very formal prayer. It was just really an SOS, a cry for help. And within a few weeks of saying that prayer, I was offered another news position on another major TV station. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. You say a prayer as a Christian, you get a job. I thought it was great. I thought it was a piece of cake. But that's really when the real work started. And I went to my husband and I said, I don't know what to do with this, because my career obviously caused us a lot of problems. I don't know if I should go back into the media. What should I do? Is this right for us right now? And ironically, for the first time in a long time, we sat down and talked about it. And at that point, we had already decided that we were not going to give up on our marriage. And we had been in a few counseling sessions and were going for more. And we went to a marriage encounter retreat. So we were at least knowing that we were going to work on our marriage. And my husband said, I don't know. I think that this is what God wants you to do. The difference was, this time we realized that both of our careers had caused so much consternation for us, because we had put everything into our careers and didn't have God in the picture, that we decided to really commit ourselves to each other first, and to make sure that our careers, and to God, and to make sure that our careers didn't take over. So I got back on TV and had very, very successful time at the ABC affiliate. But at the same time, I noticed the media changing dramatically. It probably had already been there, but I didn't notice it because I was so focused on myself. So within a few short years, I realized that this was not where I wanted to be anymore. The industry that I loved so much and had sacrificed so much for had changed, and it had become about money and agenda versus making a difference and helping people. And I decided, well, okay, I'll give radio another try. I'll go back into radio for a few years and see how that works out. And it was the same, if not worse. And so in 2000, in the year 2000, I decided I can't do this anymore as a Christian. I just don't feel that I can work in the industry, because I just saw it causing so many problems as opposed to doing good, which is what it's supposed to be all about. And so in February of 2000, I left and started the company that you mentioned, Teresa Tomeo Communications. I just really felt the Lord calling me to speak about what I experienced, not only my own reversion, but what I was seeing in the media in terms of the bias toward the pro-life issues, the bias toward anything decent, the focus on if it bleeds, it leads type of a mentality. And somehow, some way, I felt that's what I was going to do. I was going to have to form a ministry and do something about the problems I saw. I heard a Protestant preacher say once, let your misery be your ministry. And when I heard it, I was actually driving home from the ABC affiliate after a long, long night of work, and had to doing live shot after live shot, and I was exhausted, and I was listening to the evangelical station on the way home. And I heard this preacher say, you know, if you don't like something, then maybe it's your call, God's calling you to change it. And I heard that, let your misery be your ministry, and I thought, maybe I can do something with that. Maybe I can make a difference, if not in the media, maybe helping people deal with it. And so that really was a catalyst for me to take a serious step and leave the media and start my own communications business. And within 3 months of doing that and walking away and saying, okay, Lord, if this is what I'm going to do, speak, you know, about these issues, then that's fine, and I don't have to ever be on the air again, and I'll let go of that one area, even though it was precious to me being a broadcaster, if all you want me to do is speak in a different way. And within 3 months of saying that prayer, I was offered a job on the evangelical station the same one I was listening to on the way home that night, and was given my own talk show, Christian Talk with Teresa Tomeo. I worked there for 2.5 years, which is a great experience in terms of really learning my faith, being able to defend the faith to Protestant brothers and sisters. At the same time, Al Cresta was developing Catholic radio, and they were looking for a morning host, and I knew Al through the media, and he came to me in early 2002, and said they were working to get a morning show started. And within a year, by November of 2002, they had given me Catholic Connection. So the show has been on Ave Maria. It'll be 12 years in November, and we've been syndicated for 9 of those 12 years through EWTN. And in that time, I've written, 6 or 7 other books. My first book was called Noise, all about the media and media influence. My speaking career has taken off like crazy. I'm also doing EWTN television on a regular basis with Catholic View for Women and other shows. And it's just been a whirlwind of nonstop activity for the Lord and trying to use the talents and the gifts that I have. And it's crazy. If you would have told me, not to mention the fact that I've attended Vatican congresses and I lead pilgrimages and everything now focused on my faith. And if you would have told me that 20 years ago, I'd be doing what I'm doing now. I would have said, I don't know what you're smoking, but I want some of it, because this is so far from where I thought I would be in my mid-50s, at this point in my life. But I've never been happier. When you called me, I was sitting here writing a talk that I'm giving in Ohio later this week and preparing to speak to get another group about my reversion to the faith. So it's crazy. It's something I never expected to do, but when I look back now, it makes perfect sense, because I truly believe that those of us who have fallen away and who have had real problems in our life can relate to those who are struggling out there. And there are many, many people who feel, well, God cannot love me because I'm such a sinner, or, I'm a horrible person. What would people think if they knew that my marriage was broken, or that I had this issue or that issue? And God loves the messes. And he loves them just to clean up those messes. And I just want to encourage anybody who's listening, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. And I certainly fall into the sinner category, and I know that we have a future because God gave me a whole brand new one. And I'm really summarizing my journey, but I don't want to give too much detail, because I really would like people to pick up a couple of my books, because they go into a lot of detail about marriage and how important it is to keep God in your marriage and to really follow your heart and what God's trying to do in your life. But the bottom line is just to fall in love with Christ. I think that's the biggest message I have, because once I started to really take a look at the church and I recommitted my life to Christ after I made that prayer, but that was just the first step. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, I did get this new job and then things moved from there, but it was a constant growing and stretching and learning and experiencing God in the Catholic faith in so many different ways. But what I found is, after doing my own Bible study and reading and really starting to engage in discussions on the Catholic teaching, is that I just fell head over heels in love with the Lord. And Father John Hardin, who was a great catechist who, God willing, will be a saint someday, said there is no power so great in all the world as a woman when she falls in love with Jesus Christ. And I just think that is so true, because right now the world says the church is this horrible oppressor and that the God in the Catholic Church hates women, and nothing is further from the truth. And I am just having an absolute blast. I've made new friends. My husband, within the midst of all this, discerned the diaconate, was ordained as a Catholic deacon 2 years ago. So it's just crazy if you look where we were in terms of our marriage falling apart, falling away from God, barely going to Mass, to me now doing what I'm doing in Catholic radio, my husband being in ministry as a deacon. So I think we're the great example that there's hope for anybody. If God could turn our lives around, he can turn anybody's life around. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and I hope that wasn't too long a turnout. But my biggest advice would be just to really ask God into your heart and to take time to get to know him and the teachings of the church.
Teresa, this has been quite fun. Thank you so much for joining me today. You're listening to the voice of Teresa Tomeo. She is a radio show host for EWTN's and Ave Maria's Catholic Connection. And you can hear her on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, which is included here on WSFI every single morning from 8 until 10 Eastern. Of course, that is 8 until 10 Eastern, and 9 until 10 Eastern on EWTN's Global Radio Network. So I just want to ask you, this your incredible story here is, you know, you can't write it, but you have written it in several books. But it just goes to show how God takes all of this heartache and hurt and turns it into something that is truly, truly to give Him glorification, which you're doing every single day of the week in various ways. You sort of touched upon it there in the middle, and then there again at the end when you were talking about, you know, to convince people to not even convince, but to uplift people and help them change their lives and give them hope. I'm sure you've met several different people along the journey, and I'm sure you get lots and lots of phone calls and emails in your inbox. Would you just maybe tell us, you know, what are the number one or two things that you know, when you counsel somebody or you talk to somebody about, you know, changing their life, each and every bit is going to be different, I'm sure. Each and every case is different. But are there common threads and things that you're seeing? You know, you talked a lot about how the culture sort of indoctrinates people, and how, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And there's all these different things that you know, society is telling us. How do you help people rewind that notion?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing I'm seeing is that people are unhappy, and so they're finally going back to basics and saying, maybe like I did, maybe there's something in this church that I was raised in, because they're finding, as I did, that the ways of the world are very empty. It takes a real person going through a real time in their life, the difficulty, though, I think, because when you're so used to being in the world, the church can seem so odd. It can be so out of touch with, quote unquote, you know, what's going on in society today, when actually it's not. It's timeless. But so it takes someone to be at a point where they're looking for a change, where they get to a point in their life where they know that things aren't going the way they should be. They're living according to the world, and no matter what, as in my case, you know, over and over again, I was always measuring my success and my happiness as to my latest story, my latest, you know, news award that I received. But yet, every time when I went in the newsroom the next day, it was like, okay, what are you going to do for me today? What have you done for me lately? Mm. It was never enough, and so I always had to constantly perform. So I think in terms of what I can tell people is, why aren't you to look at what's going on in their own life? And I think if they look at their life without God and seeing the misery and the pain attached to it, and then really thinking and rethinking about what God has to offer, and to give themselves a chance to fall in love with Him. But I think the common thread is that people are unhappy. They're finding that the world is not all that it's cracked up to be, and that's what brings them to their knees, as it did with me. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. I think we do see a lot of people who are unhappy in the world. And you know what? There's hope out there, which I think is something that you really, really highlighted. And you, as I said, continue to highlight every day of the week on your radio show. But not only that, you know, with, through your speaking career and through all the different ways that you help spread the message of hope to people who absolutely need it. So a couple of your books, I will just name a couple here. Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to Culture, which sort of highlights what you're talking about. And then also Noise, as you mentioned earlier, how our media-saturated culture dominates lives and dismantles families. And you have one more book, Teresa, correct?
God's Bucket List, Heaven's Surefire Way to Happiness in This Life and Beyond. Again, it's called God's Bucket List. It's on the homepage of my website. It's a great book because it looks at, you know, the world and what the world says should be on our bucket list versus the list that God has for us, which is actually the best list that we could possibly imagine. So it's kind of a fun twist on the bucket list idea, and it walks through my testimony and some ideas on how to really understand what true happiness comes from and how to find it.
Yes. So you check it out, God's Bucket List, Heaven's Surefire Way to Happiness in This Life and Beyond. There it is. Thank you so much again, Teresa, for spending some time with me here today on WSFI Spotlight.
Thanks. And thanks for carrying my show. And I hope everyone tunes in to Catholic Connection and also all of our programming here on this station.
You can hear Catholic Connection right here on WSFI, 8 o'clock a.m. every day of the week. Once again, a big thanks to Teresa Tamio, host of the Catholic Connection. She is also a writer, and she is a renowned speaker on media and culture. For all of us here at WSFI, this has been WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Thank you for listening.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.